We are at Anchor, the night service. We're going through a series called Jesus 2016. And we started it this fall, late in August. And we went through and we kind of picked apart the section of Scripture called the Sermon on the Mountain. And it's kind of equivalent to the campaigning and everything that just happened, because Jesus comes and ushers in a political campaign, but it's not the kind of politics that we have here in the United States or anywhere in the world. This political campaign has one king who is king above all kings. He's the name above all names. And he says, "Here I am. I've come to rescue you. I've come to save you. And here is how we do the politics of the kingdom of heaven here on earth." So you can find this in Matthew chapter 5 through 7. Jesus comes and says, "Here I am, here's how we do this Christian thing, here's how my people act and react and how they function in the world and what they do, and this is my campaign." And here we are 2,000 years later, still living out this kingdom of heaven, kingdom coming down on earth, ushered in through Jesus. And so in this Sermon on the Mountain, we've been picking apart a lot of different issues that Jesus picks apart. So he's looked at adultery, he looked at murder, he looked at hatred, he looked at how to handle your finances, he looked at what to do with worry, he looked at all sorts of different stuff, and it was kind of crazy and interesting to see how relevant those topics are even today, 2,000 years later. And so today we're going to be looking at anxiety and worry. And it's kind of a big deal right now in our culture, isn't it? Especially now, you know, we're post-Thanksgiving and we're in official Christmas mode. How many guys decorated already? You got the Christmas tree in the living room, yeah, the lights up. You're throwing the Christmas music on. It's full Christmas season now. And we can all kind of feel it. There's a lot of tension. There's a lot of plans. There's a lot of, you know, we have to all of a sudden come up with a lot of money to give gifts to people. We have to go to the different party. We have to host the party. We have to do this. We have to do that. There's all sorts of things that happen in a very short amount of time. And the rates go up in terms of phone calls to police and hospitals during this time, in terms of suicide calls and depression calls and anxiety calls. More than any other period in the year, this happens between, you know, Thanksgiving and Christmas in this holiday season, because people are reminded about their crazy family situation or all of these things that come up that seem to try to surrender our time. We don't get any time alone with God, and it kind of drives us crazy. So Jesus actually tackles this issue of anxiety and of worry. Before we get started, I want to throw some guidelines out there for us, some preambles to this. The Sermon on the Mountain is a message directed towards Christians. So everything that we talk about today, while it is applicable to people who are not believers, it's certainly more applicable to people who follow Jesus, people who bear the name of Christ. So these are kind of expectations and things that Christians can live by and the freedom that Christians can live by, but it's not necessarily, we're not out there to shove it into the faces of those who are not identifying as Christians. Number two, this message is not about medication. I know that there are different opinions about if you're anxious and worried and you're prone to anxiety attacks. You can take medication. There's such a thing as a chemical imbalance. This message is not about that issue, so don't impose that in what we're talking about today. I'm not gonna preach from the scriptures whether you should or should not take medication for your anxiety. Seek an elder, seek some wisdom in that if you're struggling with that. Also in this, before we get started, when the word anxiety comes up, when Jesus talks about this idea of anxiety, it's synonymous with worrying, right? So it's not necessarily an anxiety attack or a chemical imbalance. It's more of worry. You know, we get stuck in this idea where things keep floating around our heads, floating around our minds, and it gets really kind of crazy. So just, you know, bear that in mind. Anxiety, worry, kind of back and forth with that. And lastly, I'm approaching this message having struggled with anxiety and currently struggle with anxiety in my life. I'm not necessarily sure if it's a chemical imbalance or if I'm just driving myself crazy. I don't know, but I know that I deal with this, and this is kind of one of the things that I struggle with in life. And so we're going to look at a passage of scripture here in Matthew chapter 6, towards the end of the chapter, at the very end of the chapter, where Jesus says, "Hey, chill out. I got you." That's essentially what he's saying, okay? And what we do at Anchor is we like to stand up and read the scriptures together. So if you want to, if you can, I invite you to stand up and read this with us. This is Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 through 34. You guys ready? All right. "Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." Let's pray. Father, we invite you here today. I scratched that. We don't have to invite you here. You're already here. Father, we acknowledge you. We fix our eyes on you. We draw our attention to you. We throw every distraction out the window. Open our ears and our minds and our hearts and my mouth, Lord, to preach your word, to just say what you've already said. Lord, I thank you for this time. I thank you for this congregation. And we love you in Jesus' name. Amen. You guys can have a seat. So somebody summed up anxiety like this. Anxiety is like paying interest on a debt that you may never owe. Let me say that again. Anxiety and worry is like paying interest on a debt that you may never owe, right? You see, we are, when we're prone to worry, when we're in this mode, when we get surrounded and in this bubble of anxiety and worry, what we're really doing is we're worrying about the things that are going to be happening tomorrow. And our mind is fixed on tomorrow and tomorrow and the day after that and the day after that. And then we start thinking about all the things that could and will go wrong tomorrow. And it affects us today, right? So when we start worrying tomorrow about not having money for our Christmas gifts, or we're worrying about how our Christmas party is going to go and who's going to come, or when we're worrying about tomorrow there's a snowstorm and my car is going to be slippery and I'm going to die. We start freaking out and it affects us today. And one of the main themes in this passage of scripture is Jesus says it, "Let tomorrow worry about itself. I got you tomorrow. I'll be there tomorrow." All right? Let's let's focus on today. Let's be present today. Let's be Christ on earth today, right? We're being overly concerned about circumstances that are out of our control when we're worrying, right? Will my heart be beating tomorrow? How will my family treat me tomorrow? How will my job go tomorrow? Will there be an accident tomorrow? These are the kinds of things that we get worried about. We get flustered about. We're worrying about things that are outside of our realm of intelligence and expertise. And it starts boggling our minds and we start panicking, right? So anxiety has become the number one mental health issue in North America. And some statistics here, they're pretty alarming. 40% of adults struggle with anxiety that we know of that have gone and received help. 10% of children and 50% of college students, right? So this is a huge population. Women struggle with anxiety more than men do, at least that we know of, that have gone and sought help for it. And like I said earlier, the holiday season, the Christmas season, tends to amplify that, tends to just give it a booster shot, and everyone is kind of in panic mode. As much as we are supposed to take this opportunity to rest and to be joyful, to rest in the idea that Jesus has come and He has saved us, He's delivered us, we're part of His kingdom, He loves us, we get to go to heaven and live an awesome life here. Until then, with all of that being said, we tend to get fixed on all these things that are happening tomorrow that we can't change. And God wants to deliver us from that. What are some of the effects of anxiety? So what does anxiety actually do? Jesus says in this passage, which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? It's a rhetorical question. The answer is none of you guys. Worrying is not going to change anything. Actually, it will. It'll change something. It'll change you. It'll change your mind. It'll change your spirit. And it actually affects your body and your brain. Here are some crazy things that happen. Chronic worry and emotional stress can trigger a host of health problems. The problems occur when fight or flight is triggered daily by excessive worrying and anxiety. The fight or flight response causes the body's sympathetic nervous system to release stress hormones such as cortisol. These hormones can boost blood sugar levels and triglycerides that can be used by the body for fuel. These hormones also cause physical reactions. So essentially what's happening is when we get worried and we start stressing about tomorrow, our body reacts and it thinks that there's a grizzly bear chasing after us, right? Essentially, your body's in panic. There's a bear! What are we going to do? And then when you really kind of talk yourself out of it and you really focus on Jesus, you realize that there's no bear there. like we're okay. But your body still has all these chemicals that are, bam, they're just flowing through your system. And here's what happens as a result of that. You can have difficulty swallowing, dizziness, dry mouth. You can have a fast heartbeat, fatigue, headaches, inability to concentrate, irritability, muscle aches, muscle tension, nausea, nervous energy, rapid breathing, shortness of breath, sweating, trembling and twitching, reproductive problems. When the excessive fuel in the body isn't used for physical activities, the chronic anxiety and outpouring of stress hormones can have serious physical consequences, including suppression of the immune system, digestive disorders, muscle tension, short-term memory loss, premature coronary artery disease, and heart attacks. Physiological effects can be cancer, diabetes, sluggish immune system, alcohol and substance abuse, cardiovascular disease, depression, suicidal thoughts, and on and on and on and on. Now, what would you do if I came here and said, hey guys, worry is going to fix all of your problems, and it's going to be so great. And I just, you know, went through the whole Bible and took a whole bunch of verses out of context to present to you, you really need to trust in yourself. and you really need to worry about the things. Hopefully you will chase me out of this church, you know, and I'll be on my way home. That's not the case. We serve a God that defeated worry, that wants us to trust Him in our worry, in our anxiety. He's got it. And here are some ways that He says through this passage of Scripture how we can go through our anxiety, how we can beat it, how Jesus has already beaten it for us. So as we go through these, think about what you are anxious about today, right now. Maybe some of us are feeling, oh, I don't go to church very often. When I do, it's just kind of this weird thing. There's a guy there, and that guy's weird. He's bald with a beard, and I don't know how to approach him. I don't know what to do in church. When I'm in church, what's going to happen? When I'm in church, when I go home, what's going to happen? And we're kind of freaking out, right? Maybe that's you today. Maybe you fall in the category that we were talking about earlier. You don't know what's going to happen in the car ride home, and it really affects you. You don't know what's going to happen later tonight, and it affects you where you are right now, sitting in your seat, and you're feeling anxious about what's going on. There's rest and there's peace here, and it's delivered through the Word of God. It's delivered through Jesus, and here are some ways that Jesus says, hey, I got you. And how we can respond to that. All right, so let's look at these. These are five different ways how we can beat anxiety. Right? Jesus starts out and he says, in this, the very beginning of this passage is, do not be anxious. Okay? Now, if you are in the middle of a panic attack or you're feeling worried and someone comes to you and says, hey, don't stop. It's not the most helpful thing. It's kind of like, it's kind of like having a coughing fit. And the way that somebody decides to come up and help you is say, hey, stop coughing, right? It's not necessarily, it doesn't feel that effective, but this is how Jesus starts this out. He says, don't be anxious, and here's how, right? Number one, know your place. Know your place. Jesus said this, therefore do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink? What shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your Heavenly Father knows that you need them all. Know your place. You are a child of the living God. That's your place. You are a child, a son and daughter of the King, of the Father, the Holy Father. He created everything, the world with breath and word out of his mouth. He's so powerful and so huge and so awesome. And still, he chooses you. He wants you. He wants you as his son. He wants you as his daughter. And this is our task. Know your place. He says the Gentiles, the people who don't identify as, in this day, as Israelites, in our day, the people that don't identify as Christians, they're really good at freaking out, aren't they? Turn the news on. Turn your television on. All of these, even the drama TV shows, it's all centered around drama and worry. And what's this guy going to do? And da, 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 da. Jesus says, listen, they're really good at that. But I bought you out of that. You are my son. You're my daughter. Know your place. You are on the throne with me. You will be one day. We will be heirs to the kingdom of heaven. There's comfort in that. Any guys feel comfort in that? It's huge. You know, you're a child of God. And you can do a whole study in the Scripture on what that means for you. I recommend take a look at Ephesians chapter 1. That one does it for me every single time. Every time I have an identity crisis, and I have a lot of people that come up to me and say, hey, I'm struggling with this and this and this and this. This is usually what I tell them. I say, read Matthew chapter 6 in this section, and then go look at Ephesians 1. It tells you who you are. It tells you who you are. It's like you are chosen, you're adopted, you're an heir, you're a son, you're this, you're that, and you're that. And you did nothing to earn that. God just loves you because He does. It's who He is. And he wants you. Know your place in that. Number two, how do we beat anxiety? Open your eyes and look. Look outside of yourself. this anxiety and this worry happens when these thoughts spin around our minds, and it's a downward spiral, isn't it? It just goes and it goes and it goes and it goes. And Jesus is saying, hey, look outside. He says, look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap or gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? So, Jesus is saying, open your eyes and look. The whole of creation, God is looking over it and taking care of it. The birds have food to eat, and they don't have this structure where they take food. Maybe some birds do, but I don't know. They don't take food, and they don't put it in these massive storehouses. Birds don't have refrigerators or cupboards that they can put food into, right? The grass of the field, they can't clothe themselves. God sends flowers that outdo the glory of Solomon, who is the richest king in Israelite history, maybe in history altogether. These things God is taking care of. You, knowing your place as a son and daughter of the living God, how much more is God going to take care of you? You are the pinnacle of God's creation. The absolute pinnacle, right? Now, let's not go so far as to say that you are God, but God loves you more than anything on this planet, more than anything in creation. See, if you look at the creation story in Genesis, God created this, he created that, the other thing, created the world, created the birds of the sea, fish of the air, he created the night and the dark and all these things. I know I'm taking it out of order. And then he said, hey, the pinnacle of my creation, the whole thing is like leading up to this moment where God says, I want an image bearer and a glory bringer to my earth. And I've done all this to lead up to the creation of Adam, and then from Adam, Eve. You are the pinnacle of God's creation. You're the son and daughter of the living God. Look outside. There's evidence. Look outside yourself. There, maybe you know somebody who is struggling with anxiety. Maybe you know somebody who's had victory in this area. You can look at how God has dealt with them and loved them and given them a testimony that has gotten them through. You can look at the rest of creation. It's taken care of. Now, a side note in this, this isn't saying that you should just sit on your couch for your whole entire week and open your mouth and expect to be fed, right? That's not what birds do. They're not just chilling in their bird kingdom, in their bird tree, and the food just magically appears. No, birds go out. I saw a beautiful blue jay yesterday stomping on the ground looking for worms. They go out and they work, don't they? They work and they earn. You can't eat if you don't work. That's one of the principles of our Holy Scripture. So we have our part to do. But when you do work, Jesus is saying, don't worry about the return. I got you. You're going to be fed. You're going to have clothes, right? Number three. So we have know your place, look outside, seek first. Number three, seek his kingdom. All right. He says, this is one of my favorite Bible verses, and I shared this last Sunday too, that when I first met my wife, one of the things you do when you're a Christian and somebody catches your eye and you really start having a crush on somebody, one of the things that you do is you just say, hey, what's your favorite Bible verse? It's like one of the pickup lines, right? Hey, what's your favorite Bible verse? And this was her answer, Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. So, once you know, I went home and I memorized that Bible verse real quick. Probably for the wrong reason, but it still worked out. It's still committed to my memory. It's in there. Thank you, wonderful Kimmy. And thank you, God, for creating the pinnacle of creation, that I get to sleep in the same bed with. It's awesome. So Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, seek His kingdom and His righteousness, and all of these things will be added to you. Right? We're so focused on the things. We're so focused on having enough money, having enough time, how our house is looking, what the party is looking like, all of these things. Am I going to have enough gifts to give? Am I going to have enough? Am I going to have enough? Am I going to be taken care of? We're focused on the things, but there's actually a very practical solution. Turn your attention from the things to Him, and you'll get the things that you need. You won't get, you know, it's not like you become a Christian and you get a Corvette. It doesn't work out like that unless you're Creflo Dollar. Sorry. you look towards God, and the provisions come with the package. Yeah? You guys get this? So really, in a sense, when we're worrying about all these things, we take all these things in our own hands. We're trying to build up and manage our own kingdom, aren't we? When I'm worrying about things, I'm saying, I'm on the throne. And I'm the king of my house, I'm the king of my money, I'm the king of the party, I'm the king. But what needs to happen is an exchange here, where we trade our kingdom in for the kingdom. We trade our crown in for His crown. And then we can be free of all of this worry, because all this stuff is His stuff. And He already promised it to me. He already wants to feed me and clothe me and take care of me. And He wants to release me of my anxiety and my worry. So it's just part of the package, but that's not the whole package. When we seek God first, we get God. That's the beauty of this whole thing. All of Christianity, it's not a moral code. It's not how you live your life. It's not how you build up your wealth. It's not about this life here, although that does play into it. This whole thing is about you get God. He's your treasure. He's everything you need. You know, that's why all throughout history you have people that are being crucified and burnt at the stake and being murdered, singing hymns and being joyful in that. Because they have God. They might not have anything else. God has taken care of the things in my life for me. I get God. You know, I tend to struggle with anxiety. I tend to get into this trap, into this system, into this crazy idea of building up my kingdom. And it fails me every single time. It fails. A couple of weeks ago, probably about a month ago, I had found myself in a place. I have a history of struggling with anxiety, and I was on medication with it for a while. And then I first gave my life to God. This was coming out of high school into college, and I first gave my life to God. And I felt like I didn't need the medication anymore. And so this was one of my prime sections of scripture that I looked at. God is everything I want, everything I need. He can take care of me without medication. And praise and glory to God, it has worked for the most part. If there was a chemical imbalance, maybe, I don't know the science. I haven't had a doctor look in my brain. But about a month ago, it was like a wave, a crushing wave of anxiety. It just kind of came right back in. And I found myself in a place where It hit me so hard and so unexpectedly. Morning to night, I have to say, 7 days a week, I'm a sinner, because one of the reasons that I sin is I do not rest. It's just a thing that I don't do, and it's I don't know why, but well, I do know why. We'll get into that. But morning to night, day to day is planned out for me. You know, I wake up at this time, I go to work at this time, and after work, it's just plan, 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 plan. And one day, a couple weekends ago, the plan fell through. And the timing didn't work out because I took too much time doing this. And this thing fell apart. And so my whole plan for my whole day just fell through. And I freaked out. I started kicking stuff and hitting stuff and cursing. And my heart was just so bitter and angry. It, more than it has been in a very, very, very long time. And I had this like little breakdown episode, and then I stepped back from it. And I said, what just happened? See, as an introvert, something happens in your life, and then you have to go think about it for 4 hours. So that's what I did. So I had this little episode, and I just laid down on my couch. And Kimmy helped me process, you know, what was going on in my mind. And it came down to what it boils down to is I have been working hard to build up my kingdom and my empire. And my pride took a hit, and I got destroyed. Yeah, I work hard trying to build up my home and my family and my marriage and my job and my roles here with the church, with Basic and with Anchor and all of these things. And it's me. I got to be the one that does this because nobody else can do it. I got to work harder than everybody else because all this pressure and being in leadership. Thank you guys for being my therapist. This feels really great. All of these things, all of these things. And it culminated to this moment where me didn't work anymore. And it was done. And I had a freak out. I got angry. And then I had to go process and talk to God and say, God, what in the world just happened to me? And here's the answer. And this is it. Because I needed to trade my kingdom in for His kingdom. Do you know, it hasn't been an instantaneous like anxiety gone. In fact, that was kind of the trigger moment. I was having like little mini panic attacks for about 2 weeks straight every day in this process. And it's still kind of hitting me every once in a while. But do you know that there's rest in this? There's so much rest in this. That it's not me anymore. It's not me. I get to trade me for Him. And I get God. And He takes care of the kingdom that I oversee here on earth. He takes care of all this stuff. The machine still works because God is in control no matter what I do, right? And it's just awesome. There's peace in that. There's freedom in that. Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness and all the stuff. You get God and you get the stuff. It's a good deal. If you're not a Christian, why aren't you, man? Why not? This is awesome, right? Number four, let tomorrow worry about itself. Let tomorrow go, right? So we've kind of diagnosed worry as something in the future. Maybe a cause of worry is being prideful and just being really intricate and really thinking that you're the master, you're the ruler of today. But Jesus says, let tomorrow go. Let tomorrow worry about itself. He says, do not be anxious about tomorrow. Tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Jesus is saying, hey, you got a lot of stuff today coming up. You got a lot of stuff right now going on in your life. God wants to deliver you from that worry now and so much more about the worry tomorrow. What Jesus is saying is, here's today and here's tomorrow. God is already in tomorrow. And He's already in the next day. And He's already there. And He's already there. And He's already there. And each day that you lay your head down to go to sleep, you wake up and God is there to greet you. And it's like a really excited dog. Here we go, buddy. Another day. Yeah. I got it all taken care of. It's awesome, right? That's the heart of God. He's ready to go. He's ready to be with you. He's ready to relate with you and to be your friend and to be your father. He's already there. He's taking care of it all there, right? It's all there. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, but He sure does. He's got it worked out. And that brings freedom. It brings peace, right? Number five, we'll get into this. Turn your worry into prayer. This is an opportunity that you have. This is like one of the, you know, some of these other examples might be a little bit like, might take a little bit more time to really figure out, and it's a process. Like, how do I actually seek God first? Or how do I actually let tomorrow worry about itself? And these are obtainable things. Otherwise, Jesus probably wouldn't have said anything. This is a reality for you here and now. But this one is kind of like something that you can do instantly to kind of turn it around. I believe that worry, part of it is self-inflicted, right? Part of it is me. And part of it is a satanic attack to distract us from the plan that God has for us, from the things that, the work that God has for us to do. And Satan really, really, really wants to derail us as children of God, doesn't he? So, and it might be both. It might be Satan throwing his little dart in your ear, and then you let that spin around and grind around, and it makes this mishmash soup that you eat for Thanksgiving. And it just turns into this worry, anxiety pot of badness. This is something that you can instantly do. You turn it into prayer. There's a section of scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 that says, we take captive every thought and we make it obedient to the will of Jesus Christ. So every thought that comes through, you have the power as a child of God who knows your place, to as a person that's been bought out of sin, you have the power to take captive every thought and make it obedient to the will of Jesus Christ. So a thought comes into your mind, whether it comes from yourself or from the enemy, you have the power to say, go back to hell where you came from. You're trying to derail me from my trust in God. You're trying to get me to build up my own empire. You're trying to get me to worry about all this stuff. But we have the power and the opportunity, really, to instantaneously take these thoughts and turn it into a prayer. Turn this thought into a conversation with God. Right? You're worried about your finances. You know, you have an opportunity when this thought comes to start praying to God about your finances. Start talking to Him about your finances. Start reading His Word, what He's already told you about your finances. You can turn it into a conversation. You're worried about your relationship with your spouse. You're worried about your relationship with your mother, your father, sister, brother, child. You have an opportunity to take those thoughts and to pray for these people, no matter what they've done. Right? And we can pray, we can talk to God about these things. That's part of the deal of being a dad. You know, He wants to talk with you. He wants to communicate with you. He wants to teach you. He wants to show you. He wants to guide you. He wants to provide for you. He wants you to talk to Him. And then maybe something kind of cool happens when we listen to. That's a huge part of prayer, right? It's just listening. We can initiate the conversation and say, hey God, what's up? And then just chill out for a couple of minutes while he talks. It's cool. Philippians 4, chapter 6 through 7, or Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 through 7 is kind of, it echoes this section of scripture in Matthew chapter 6. And this is the Apostle Paul writing to the church of Philippi. And he's even reflecting on this teaching of Christ. And he says this, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So we have an opportunity to take the things that we're worried about right now and turn them into prayer with thanksgiving, right? We did a little exercise this past Sunday night at Anchor as in anticipation for the holiday, Thanksgiving, I believe that it's still Thanksgiving. It's still Thanksgiving. So we can do the same exercise, but turn your anxiety into prayer with Thanksgiving, right? So you're, again, I'm just going to hound on this example of money. You're worried about your money. You're worried about your finances. Start with, God, thank you for the stuff that I have now. Thank you for providing for the shoes on my feet and the shirt that I'm wearing and the this that you've given me and the that that you've given me. God, I'm anxious about the all these other things that are trickling in my mind, but I'm really thankful that you've given me this and you've given me that. And I'm telling you, man, it's going to change your whole perspective. And that kind of thinking with Thanksgiving is going to start banishing out those thoughts, taking captive those thoughts and making them obedient to the will of Christ. And so I want to open the floor and I want to ask, just shout out what you're thankful for. Just shout out something that, maybe it's something that you're worried about in that category. Nobody else has to know, but whatever comes out of your mouth, something that you're thankful for, something that you are appreciative of God for providing for you. Shout it out. Salvation. Amen. Your husband, your daughter. Yes. Family. God's love and fellowship. His direction and God's word. Yeah. Music. Church family. Blood family. Life. Yeah. Jesus. America. Aw, me. Thank you. I'm thankful for you for saying that and for many other reasons. Yes. Amen. Your job. Yeah. Home. Place of worship. Freedom and Holy Spirit. You get Him. You're thankful for Him. What else are we thankful for? Good health. Yeah. Start there. Don't be anxious for anything. Instead, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will be yours. Again, it's an exchange. It's a flip-flop. My kingdom for His kingdom, and His is way better. It's like having like a little cheeseburger on your plate, and the guy next to you has this like big old steak. And it's your dad. And he's like, hey, son, give me that cheeseburger, and I'll give you the steak. And you're like, yeah, let's do it. That's what this is about, but so much more, and it's so much more awesome, right? So let's get into, really quick, again, I just want to reiterate, some of the causes of anxiety are pride, like we talked about. Me, 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 my kingdom, worrying about me, worrying about my stuff, worrying about my relationships, worrying about me now in this moment and me in the future. It's affecting me today. Another cause of anxiety. This isn't an exhaustive list, but I picked out two from this section of scripture. The other cause that I picked out here is little faith. Now, this is a little bit tricky because I've seen this argument before. Excuse me. I believe that my generation, us millennials, are like the anxious generation, and it's just so rampant. It's so crazy. Working with college students in this generation, this is the number one issue. It's the number one thing that people deal with. And you saw the statistics, 50% of college students identify with being anxious. So that means out of the 30 or 40 people that come to our basic meetings on Thursdays, who identify as being Christians, by the way, 15 to 20 of them deal with anxiety. And that's just massive. It's huge and it's crazy. And I've heard this argument before that it's kind of dismissive and it's like, it's not real. You just have to have more faith, right? You just have to have more faith, right? And like, just will yourself out of it. In other words, you have to have more faith. Just will yourself out of it, right? And so there's a legion of young Christians and maybe Christians everywhere who have struggled with this thought and have maybe had these kind of worry episodes and have had people come to them and say, you're not trusting in God enough. Now, this might get in a little bit into the conversation of maybe it's a chemical imbalance there. And I personally don't believe that there's anything wrong with taking medication for that imbalance. But there's a people group who are, and I'm starting to see articles pop up about like, how do you deal with anxiety as a young Christian when everybody's pointing a finger at you and saying you don't have enough faith to get yourself out of it, right? So Jesus actually identifies and he says this statement, "O you of little faith." You know, what's causing this anxiety? He calls it out and says, "Oh, you of little faith." So there has to be a balance here. There has to be like, Jesus is saying you have little faith. So maybe that is a cause of anxiety. Maybe it is a cause of worry, but maybe it's not your faith. Maybe it's his faith. Do you know that faith is, you can't have faith without God giving it to you? Isn't that kind of crazy? And there's an extra measure. Faith is one of the spiritual gifts. And God can give certain people an extra measure of faith or when they need it. So when somebody comes to you and says, oh, you have this problem in your life, you don't have enough faith, that kind of implies and it tends to send a signal that we have to try harder. And again, it comes back to me and my faith. And, you know, why are you attacking my faith? And, oh, I just need to muster up more faith. I just need to gather more faith and I need to work myself out of this. It's impossible. It's God's faith. We need to lean in on Him. And I'm going through this awesome commentary. I should have brought it. On the Sermon on the Mount. And it's called... what's it called? Studies in the Sermon on the Mountain. Yeah, that's deep. And it's by a preacher in Britain in the 1950s named Martin Lloyd-Jones. And he says this, we believe in Christ, but we do not believe Him. We believe in Christ, but we don't believe Him. See, for us Christians, there are two different kinds of faith. There's the kind of faith that makes us a Christian, that says, I lose. The way I did life did not work out. For me, it was a pride thing. My pride just left me nowhere. And I still need the gospel each and every single day, just as much as I did 9 years ago when I initially accepted the terms. There's a faith that enters us into the kingdom of heaven through salvation, but there's also a faith for today. You see, some of us believe in Christ for our salvation, but we don't believe Christ. When he says, when he preaches a message like this and says, you can be free and rid of your worry and your anxiety, oh, you of little faith. He's talking about a measure of faith. Like, as Christians, let's break this down. We believe that there's a God who is infinitely powerful, infinitely knowing, infinitely loving. He created the whole universe with you as the pinnacle of His creation, right? You are a son and daughter of a living God. And He goes past that. He sent you to 2016. He gave you a path and a direction. He gave you gifts and passions and talents to reach people in this generation and tell them about His love. He's orchestrated this whole deal before you were on earth, while you're on earth. He's given you work to do, and then after your time on earth, He has opened up His gates to you through His Son Jesus so that you can enter in, and all of this stuff is in this huge, enormous package that comes along with us getting Him. We believe in that, but we can't believe that He's going to take care of us now. We can't believe that He's going to provide for our necessities. We can't believe that He's going to help us, you know, restore this broken relationship. We can't believe that there's a deliverance for my sin right now. We believe in Christ. But sometimes we don't believe Christ and what He's saying. And what He's saying to us 2,000 years ago, what He's saying to us today is, I am here and I have come, and now is the time for deliverance. Now is the time for salvation. Salvation, yes, eternally, but salvation from your anxiety, salvation from your worry. And I feel like this is such a timely message because we're, again, just coming right into this season of Christmas. It's a season of reflection. It's a season of thanksgiving. God, thank You for sending Your Son to buy a way for me into heaven. I couldn't do it on my own. And we don't want to be crippled with our worry. I don't want you to be crippled with your worry. Could you imagine if all of us were stripped of it, how quickly this church would change? How quickly our families would change? How quickly this city would change? If people started to take notice of, you know, this guy over here, this whole collective people, they just don't worry about anything. What's wrong with them? It's Jesus has a different way. And that's the whole point of the Sermon on the Mount. It's the whole point of Him coming. It's the whole point. The culture is going this way. The world's going this way. And Jesus has a better way going this way. I'm going to move us into communion. And I believe that there is a kind of anxiety that we kind of mentioned and touched on. There's a kind of anxiety that might be the root of all anxiety. But it's the kind of anxiety that we start worrying about where we're going to be forever. Not just tomorrow, not just the next day, not next year, not our 10-year plan, but where are we going to be in 4,852 years? Where are we going to be in eternity? Where are we going to spend eternity? And for some people that we encounter, and maybe some of us in this room, are still not sure about the answer to this question, right? I think that's the ultimate anxiety, and I think that's one of the reasons why so many people struggle with it, is because if you don't know where you're going forever, and you don't trust where you're going forever, how in the world are you going to trust where you're going tomorrow? And how in the world are you going to trust where you're going to be in 5 years, right? Jesus, God Himself, came to this earth and He suffered the ultimate anxiety. And He suffered the weight of that anxiety. And you start to see it in the Garden of Gethsemane, where He is praying and He is anxious and He spins it into prayer, and He has these thoughts, and even though He knows that He's going and that He's coming back and He's going to be glorified, He still is suffering this weight of the ultimate anxiety that He will be sent to hell in eternal separation from God. And it just wrecks Him, and He's sweating blood and He's crying and He's begging God for another way. And then He comes to the... What an amazing man. What an amazing God we serve. And even in that, even in His most broken moment, He still trusts God with His worry. He still trusts God with His anxiety. He still trusts the plan that God is in there tomorrow. He's in there the next day. Jesus crushed with this anxiety of eternity without God, suffered it on the cross, so that you and I could live as sons and daughters. We could look outside of ourselves. We can take captive every thought. We can turn our worry into prayer. And we can trade our kingdom for His kingdom. And we can live this now. We can do it right now. We can leave our anxiety in this room and banish it to hell where it came from and walk out of here being those weird people that don't worry about anything. And it's all because of what Jesus did for us. It's all because He took all the anxiety on Himself. He took all the depression on Himself. He took all the worry on Himself to buy us the freedom. Aren't you glad? Doesn't that free you? That He did it. Like he did it. So what are we trying to do? What are we trying to recreate? How am I trying to create my kingdom when He already has one? What am I worrying about? He already did it. He already accomplished it.